views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The rug was pulled out from underneath her. She didn't feel confident. She didn't know if she could make it. Yet she rose like the phoenix, leading herself and her family into a new beginning. And you can too. Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show Lady Boss knows what women want: to be free to speak their voice, live in financial freedom, and build businesses that radiate wealth, leaving legacies we can be proud of. Join Cornelia, Dana, and Chris the first and fourth Friday every month as they raise the roof to inspire confidence in all women.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. You're listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Lady Boss, today. And I'm with my co-host, Dana Terrio. Welcome to the show, Dana.
Hi, thanks.
Hi, we are here to talk about Handle the Lump, Heal Your Life, Part 4. Right? And I am super excited about the topic that we have and the very special guest that we're going to introduce to our audience today. But first, I want to say a little bit about what this show is going to be about. Ladies and gentlemen, get your pen and paper ready, because we're going to enliven and inspire you with some amazing conversation today. And that is about exploring the relationship between what's happening in your life with what's happening in your body. Do you agree that disease in your life is directly or indirectly linked to disease in your body? How important is mental health when it comes to health and healing in the physical body? What about our standard care in modern medicine? Should mental health care be a necessary prescription when treating chronic illness or disease? That's going to be our topic today. And so I'm looking so forward to diving into this topic, because we are at an evolutionary time on the planet, and that is to really allow our physical bodies to heal, to rejuvenate and regenerate. And that's what we're able to do. So Dana, Let's talk about this, and let's go over our last, let's do a recap for the audience. What do you say, over the last three shows and the progression that we've taken to get to this point?
Yes, let's. And you had said initially that this would be an organic evolution, and I'm really happy to see that you know the drill, you know how this works, and that's exactly how everything rolled out. So we came out with the first story about diagnosis. Then we talked about, Dr. V, we brought her on, and all about breast cancer. Then we had Anne Fonfa on, and she talked about all types of cancer. So it's organically expanding. So I love how we're going into this new direction now too. So it's kind of we're dealing a lot with the consciousness too of chronic illness and what we can do. And I love the new conversation. It's really exciting that it gets into health psychology and positive psychology. So the recap in the last one, Dr. V really taught us about cancer's cancer, and we can all explore the root cause. And Anne Fonfa talked about the importance of risk reduction. Remember, she made that big distinction. There's prevention, which is only the absence of disease development, and then there's risk reduction. And she talks about risk reduction for developing disease and also for dealing with adverse effects and harms. And she brought on so much stuff. And what was beautiful about that conversation was that it's helpful for every type of cancer, whether it's, all types of cancer. And she made the comment that not everyone will benefit from chemotherapy, but everyone may get side effects from it. So I wanted to clarify too, that it's not to say that it's an automatic, that everyone will definitely get side effects, but down the road, sometimes there are some things that come up. So it requires a level of health to handle conventional treatment too. People don't get sick because they get a cancer diagnosis. They have a sick body first. And so a level of health is required to go through the conventional treatments like Anne was saying, she didn't want to do the chemotherapy, not because she was just totally opposed to it. Her body really could not withstand it, so chemically sensitive. And she and I both had some similarities too. If you remember, we were both 44. We both had 18 lymph nodes removed. And for both of us, when I said I had walked the two paths, I got tattooed for radiation just in case. She had the similar experience that our hearts are irregular in their positioning. So we had to go through machines that would have been very specialized with a specialized breathing apparatus. So we were at an increased risk for heart damage. So these are things that it's not about, are you going to do natural or are you going to do conventional? Sometimes with no judgment, there's looking at what the body can withstand. So those are some clarifications that are important to make, that it's not just because she was a rebel about not wanting to do radiotherapy as a nuclear activist. She just, her body was really at risk for that. So those are important conversations to have. And respect is a big thing. Empowered choice is what we're talking about. That's the common theme and the common denominator. It doesn't matter what people choose, what they want to do. It's just whatever they decide, just let's power up behind them for whatever their choice is, because it's individual and not everyone.
It is individual. It is individual. And I think that's the new path. I think that's going to be the way that it's about empowerment, and it's about listening to each and every person's body and each and every inner authority of, you know, what is it that what is authentic for you. And we're going to dive in more about the emotional body, which, you know, that this is what I personally specialize in with my own life and with my clients that I've worked with over the years. And also, this was my book that I wrote on how I healed my body with my emotions, and how you can too. And as we are going deeper into this conversation of emotional and mental health, we're going to discover, you know, like where does all this begin? Where does all this begin? And I want to also share with the audience that if you have not listened to our previous podcasts, that they are so informative, and we're getting so much great feedback from people that are really resonating with the messages and the doctors and the specialists that we've brought on. And so you can go to Cornelia Stephanie YouTube and the Handle the Lump, Heal Your Life series is there. And share with us where you are and what you're discovering, and ask questions on the YouTube feed. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel, because there you're going to be able to be alerted whenever we have a new show that's coming out. And we're bringing amazing experts in the field of, in this new paradigm, in this new path that we're moving forward, and that's about self-healing, liberation, and really tuning into our own body's intelligence, right, Dana?
Yes. We've talked about this, moving out of the paradigm of separation. We're really totally in unity here. I really believe that too, that it's not mind and body. It's not either or, it's both. This is the new paradigm. This is where it's going. And this is, we can get into the evidence of it too. So it's a new conversation. It's very exciting. And this is the time.
It is exciting, and it's exciting because we're living longer, and we're choosing to, and we're choosing to empower ourselves with, you know, better ways of living and being, and questioning the things that we're told, We're not just taking, you know, someone says so-and-so, and, you know, the doctor says so-and-so. I really feel like every doctor, every medical system, hospital and whatnot, is there to support you in your evolution for greater health, right? For better health, for better well-being. And but really asking the medical establishment where they are getting their information from, and why is it that they think the way that they think, and is that really best for you? And that's what we want to do with these conversations, to show that it's okay to, you know, question the authority outside, you know, the medical authority outside of yourself, right?
Right, agreed. I like that you made the point that the healthcare providers, the healthcare practitioners are there to support it. And I think it's health supportive to operate from that place of faith, giving benefit of the doubt. Anne and I shared how we had some experiences that weren't entirely favorable for us, but things are dated. Things have changed because my story started a long time ago. So things have really, really changed. And I can tell you at the time when I first had my first surgery 20 years ago, I thought the care I received at the time was great. And there were just some things said to me that I thought might have been a little bit indelicate. But at the time, I think it's good to what you're saying, believing that they are there to help, that they're supportive, benefit of the doubt. Everyone is doing their best. And with this conversation, we've really continued into this, the consumer mindset versus the patient mindset. There's something that kind of, with a patient mindset, it can maybe signal something about powerlessness, perhaps. There's just like, on a receiving end, what will you do for me? What, like, that's not an active participation. A consumer mindset is much more empowering, much more powerful. And Anne made a fantastic point last time, the importance of asking the quality questions, because everyone appreciates the truth. If you don't know the answer, I love it when someone says, I don't know, I can work with that, but don't make something up or negate something. She was saying, she made a wonderful point, asking a question about an approach. If everyone goes on and Googles and does an internet search, but and asking a question, and then if the doctor says, oh no, that's not a possibility, and her question is specifically, what is your evidence that it will not work? Because if they say, I don't know, great, they don't know. And I was very specific to applaud the staff that I worked with. And I said, I respect and appreciate your scope of, you know, brilliance in your practice, and I have other questions too. So it's good to give respect for what they're doing, but they only know what they do. Yeah. And just because they're not aware of what else is out there doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to oppose it, but it's hard for someone to speak about something that they don't know.
Yeah. You know, Dana, I've never told you this story, but when I was in the beginning, when I first started doing this emotional core work and the work that, you know, that I do with myself and clients and how I healed my body, I had a diagnosis. I went in and I had a diagnosis of they wanted to remove two growing cysts, large cysts on my ovaries. And they gave me a diagnosis by saying that, you know, it could be endometrial cancer, right, if I don't have this removed. And I remember I was like already heavy into my work. And I had a colleague of mine say, now is your time really to test out what it is that you truly believe in and the work that you're doing. So then when I looked at what this cyst is, what the boil is, what that energy is on my womb, on my ovaries, I decided to heal it myself. And so then when I contacted back the doctor, you know, and said, I'm not going to have my ovaries removed. I'm not going to do that. They were panicking because they really wanted to tell me that I should do that. But I was listening to my own internal guidance of this is what I teach and this is what I believe in. And so now I want to go into what is the cause of this and heal these cysts myself. And so, and then that's what I ended up doing. And it was a really empowering experience because I discovered that those cysts there were boils of anger that were stored on my creative womb. And when I realized all of that and then changed my diet and changed my belief system and really started releasing the emotional suppression in that, I was able to heal and recover and remove, you know, the cysts myself without having my ovaries removed. But that was a scary time. And also it was a scary time because I was really tested to stand up for what I believe in when they told me that, you know, I really should have it removed. And I didn't agree with that. And that was literally, I don't know, 8 years ago. And I'm so glad that I did that. And so that story is in my book also. But I wanted to share that because this is what we're talking about today, is really discovering what it is that we're capable of, the healing that we're capable of, what we can overcome, and that whatever you're diagnosed with, that there is there's a reason, and also there is a way that you can recover from that, right? So How about if we do this? We're ready to bring on our guest, and let's take a quick break before we do that, and then you'll introduce us to our special guest today. How about that? Let's take a quick break.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, and I'm with my co-host, Dana Terrio. This is part four of the series, Handle the Lump, Heal Your Life. Perfect for us, again, to have this discussion today. Dana, you brought a very special guest.
Yes, and I know we're both so excited to bring her on. Before I do introduce our beloved guest, I really just wanted to say, Bravo to you, Cornelia, because that's a success story. And that's really, talk about the call to consciousness. And this is the place, this is what we're talking about. It's individual, and not everyone can take that leap of faith. It took radical courage for you to do that and a willingness. So this is what we're talking about. There's a place for everyone in community, inclusion. It's not cookie cutter. Everyone has a different way. So I just want to say, congrats to you for doing that. And yeah, that really shows the way for other people. So that speaks to diagnosis, it's not prognosis. You can get the information and then it's up to you what you do with it. So I just wanted to say congrats. That's great.
Thank you.
I'm thrilled to have, I know you're thrilled too, Cornelia, to bring on our special guest today. So I'm going to tell you about this lady. She's just wonderful. So I'm so happy that you're here today. So I'm going to invite our friend here, Dr. Maureen Pierce, to join us. And Dr. Maureen Pierce is a licensed psychologist who's been practicing health psychology for 15 years in the Seattle, Washington area. She provides clinical services to people with chronic health issues, and she has a specialty in working with first responders. All of Dr. Pierce's training has been in the medical setting, where she completed a health psychology rotation in the VA system and was a pain psychologist for 6.5 years. Dr. Pierce specializes in working with first responders, including paramedics, firefighters, state troopers, and police. Her professional vision is to change the culture of stigma to strength When it comes to creating emotional wellness, for the past decade, she has worked with first responders individually, and she has developed a training program for local departments called Thrive, which teaches them how to be psychologically prepared given their unique career stressors. Trauma is their day job. Overall, Dr. Pierce's professional vision is to empower her clients to take charge of their emotional and physical health. As a result, people realize that they have choices in their physical and mental health, which can change the course of their lives. And Dr. Maureen says, remember, knowledge is power, but only if we choose to do something different. So welcome, Dr. Maureen Pierce. We're so grateful that you're here with us today. So
thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Dana and Cornelia.
Yeah, well, we're so happy to have you here. I met you in a health coaching community, and you just have this way about you. Whatever I say, you just have something wise to say. Now, specifically, I'm on the cancer journey, but I know for you, it's not specific to cancer. You treat everybody with chronic illness, so I appreciate that you can share everything in your professional practice. So tell us, how did you come into health psychology? Because I love this. This is very, it's cutting edge, it's new, it's positive, and it, you know, it's, you're making a business out of pain and suffering, but with the positive spin on it. How did you get into health psychology? And why is it so important to you?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's always a backstory to kind of what's going on. And usually with the practitioners that I work with is that there's usually a personal connection. My personal connection is, first of all, I think it's just kind of in my bones, because as a teenager, I was reading books about wellness, nutrition, supplements, exercise. And then, so I've always been interested in it. And then I had a family member, my father was diagnosed with lung cancer, smoking-related lung cancer. And I remember when he was diagnosed, I went directly to the bookstore, because this is how I cope, and I got Dr. Bernie Singel's book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And this was my introduction to the world of mind-body medicine. And he talks a lot about guided visualization. So, of course, I started to do that. And I really love his words about the exceptional patient, which is, this is the type of patient that takes an active role in participation. And we know through health outcomes that folks who are more active and a little bit more spicy really do better in terms of prognosis. So that was my first introduction. And then I went into my master's program in psychology, and I studied and even interviewed the father of psychoneuroimmunology, or PNI for short, that multisyllabic word there. And so I interviewed him and just learned about the role of how our psychology, the way we think and feel, impacts our nervous system, which impacts our immune system. So I really started to learn about that. And then I worked in community mental health for a little bit. And I just really craved more information and training. And then when I went into my doctoral program, I had the awesome opportunity. All of my training was in health psychology. All of my training was in a medical setting, oncology. I learned about psycho-oncology, which is the interface of emotional wellness or emotional health, and when someone's diagnosed with cancer, and how cancer affects our psychology. And so I just had a number of opportunities to work in different medical clinics and in family practice residency program. I trained physicians on how to assess or how to reach someone with the person you're sitting across from. And then I went off and did my practicum, again, more training in oncology, kidney dialysis, trauma. I worked with a lot of folks with trauma. And then I was doing a grand rounds training once I moved here to Seattle, and I met Dr. Taylor, who is a pain physician. And he said, I'd really like to talk with you about an opportunity. And we met, and he said, I'd really like you to join the pain clinic. And so both my husband and I, my husband's also a psychologist, we were operated in a capacity of pain psychologists, because you can't run a pain clinic, really, or any medical clinic without a psychologist. And so chronic pain means anything more than 3 months. And that can be related to cancer, diabetes, a cardiovascular event, a car accident, fibromyalgia, back surgery has gone wrong, rheumatoid arthritis. And then in 2009, this is when my world kind of opened up and I started working with first responders, and my background in serving the military, who I still work with, really opened the door to that.
What a story. That's an incredible backstory. And it, I'm so curious. You said you interviewed the father of psychoneuroimmunology. I'm fascinated with that. I love Dr. Paul Pearson, the pleasure prescription. Who is this father? Who is the man you interviewed?
Dr. Richard Adler. And I was so fortunate because he allowed me to, you know, I was able to get a hold of him. And I do want to give credence to Dr. Candace Pert, who wrote Molecules of Motion. She's the mother of psychoneuroimmunology.
Yes.
I want to give her ample credit as well.
Yeah, I love her too. The proteins, I love that. I read that years ago too. It's incredible. And the book you talked about, Dr. Siegel, I have that in my library, but I've yet to tear it open yet. I've heard wonderful things about that. Mm-hmm. So that just takes us into the next conversation, if we could go into the beliefs, because I had in university too, I had chronic fatigue syndrome, so I think I've always had a compromised immune system. Do you want to speak to anything about that fascinating conversation about the say it again, what are the three letters? Psychoneuroimmunology. Some say psychoneuroendroimmunology. So
endocrinology, yes. So there's a couple of different ways to say it, but you know, I go with psychoneuroimmunology. So we've got our psychology. So the way, you know, who we are as a person, how we think and how we feel, because our thoughts and our emotions are nerve impulses. And that kind of creates a web or a highway directly to our immune system and to our nervous system. So the reality is that, you know, when the way we think really releases certain chemicals, stress hormones, that then affects the proteins that are released by the gene that then upregulates or downregulates the expression of that gene.
Right.
So, and this gets into the field of epigenetics. So, which is a major game changer, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's so encouraging and empowering. What can you say about overall? Because getting a diagnosis it is traumatic, and then dealing with the trauma of the disease. Then we look at the trauma that led up to it, or potentially anything in the life experience that may have led to it as well. There's a lot to explore about trauma. Can we talk about the importance of mental health, the new conversation in medicine right now, of how it's been undervalued and underestimated? What do you think about why that is?
Well, I think first of all is that, you know, a little context, the United States is 43rd in the world for health and longevity. Although, and we lead the world in chronic disease, but yet we have the most expensive and healthcare system on the planet. So that's such a huge contradiction. We spend all this money, but yet we're one of the sickest populations. So I think there are a number of reasons. First of all, the average doctor or physician visit or nurse practitioner visit is 7 minutes. So it's all guided by money. And so this statistics comes from Dr. Groupman, who obviously is a physician. And so there's not a lot of time to do a deep dive, you know, especially in the world of managed care and insurance. And physicians are under a lot of pressure to see a number of clients. So, and the reality is you can't manage chronic illness in 7 minutes. You just can't. And so my experience in working in medical settings is that many times there's only barely enough time to focus on physical issues, but the tools to address the physical issues are prescriptions, you know, procedures, surgery, come back next week. So there's a little bit more to it, and they don't always have time to really see the person that's sitting across from them. And in physician training, you know, they're training, you know, a typical physician has less than 1 hour of nutrition training in their medical education. And that is true for the past 30 years. And when they do get training in it, it's based on pathology. Like, how much vitamin C do you need to prevent scurvy? Well, That's not what we're talking about. And a lot of my clients will say, well, I'm going to go talk to my doc about nutrition, about, you know, my diet. And I'm kind of like, good luck, because that just doesn't, you know, that's not going to be enough. So, you know, as a side note, I want to really make a distinction that there are some physicians who are trained as what we call functional medicine docs, where after their traditional medical education, they go off and they invest really a large, like 16 grand over a 4-year period to study about the root causes of illness. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard it, like in the cancer world, which is where I work, is that it's not about the lump or bump. And as you said, Dana, very aptly, is that this isn't this is something that's grown over time, and that this is something that cancer doesn't grow in a healthy body. So, you know, that's so functional medicine docs, really, they become like real detectives with you, and they have at least an hour to spend with you. And functional docs and nurses are both able to do that, as well as naturopaths. And then even in psychology, you know, psychologists, we're not always trained to look at what is the role of a potential medical issue as a rule out. Some programs do, some programs don't. I was very blessed. My program did a lot of this. And so a woman comes in with depression, the traditional route might be to send her off for a medication consult for an antidepressant, but nobody's asking the question, you know, well, could it be your hormones? Could it be a nutritional imbalance? Because what we know from the literature is that deficiencies in B6 and folate can really fuel depression. So they're just, there's not a lot of look at the role of neurotransmitters, you know, and there's not a lot of specialty in the prescription of antidepressants. And in the Seattle area, there's a shortage of psychiatrists. So a lot of times folks go to their primary care physician. I think they do the best they can, but it's not always a good fit. And there's other things people can do first.
Yeah, I like that. And again, paying respect to the healthcare providers, the health practitioners, respect, because there's a place, which is good. It puts us in a position of power. We can do something. These physicians, these providers are doing the very best they can. I want to really give recognition and appreciation for that. So it's not necessarily the script pad first. There are other things to do. And talking about the expression of the genes, J.J. Virgin talks about food as information. You're talking about nutrition. She says food is information. It informs the cells, the genes, how to express. So there's so much to look at. And specifically for women, the hormonal cascade, that is something that doesn't get appreciation, like you say, in a 7-minute visit. So it's so important. And there are just so many things to do first. So that's why it's very powerful to have this consumer mindset. What are we consuming? What are we consuming? What's taking up real estate in our minds? What are our thoughts? What are we doing in our daily practices? Not just, I show up in the office as a patient, doctor, serve me, give me something, give me anything. It's a two-way street. They're there in their scope of practice, and then it's up to us to fully show up in our full, complete willingness to do what it takes and inform ourselves. And luckily, this information age, we can. So now it's just sifting and sorting the right information.
What I would love to see in the medical community with the functional medicine doctors that you were talking about, Maureen, and also the empowerment of our own selves, is to really look at what if a woman comes in and she's got depression, and then, you know, we look at diet, we look at hormones, we look at this, but then also have it be what's going on in your life and what's going on in your life right now. What are you feeling depressed about? And then starting that dialogue to find out, you know, what are you feeling depressed about? Because when we can track it back emotionally, there's something from the past that is making itself known in the present. And, you know, so it's coming up so that we can take a look at it, because depression from my belief system, is anger turned inward. It's a paralyzed emotion that's really, really low. And we just don't have that energy to want to go on. And so then we're looking for a pill or something to fix it, to make it better, but really discovering how we're feeling and what is it that we're feeling depressed about, so that we can get that life force energy, that emotion again in a positive direction, in addition to the hormones and the diet. And what do you say about that, Maureen?
I think you're right on, and really teaching us to be emotional detectives and to go back and let's learn about what's on page one, because that so informs our story. It guides how we do business in every area of our life, how we do our relationships, the type of partner we pick or don't pick, how we value money, how we value ourselves and set boundaries, how do we listen to ourselves and our intuition. So I think that is just hugely profound, and to really do that deep dive.
Yeah, and I think that's the place that every person can really discover wherever they are right now and already begin asking those questions on a daily basis. How am I feeling? Mm-hmm. What's going on? Like really listening to the body. How am I feeling? And what are the thoughts, that are attached? Because I heard you say earlier, and I agree with this also, is that our bodies respond to our thoughts. Mm-hmm. Our bodies respond to our thoughts. And that's scientifically proven.
Yes.
That the number one thing for all of us is to feel good, is absolutely 100% to feel good. And if we're not feeling good, then let's investigate and find out why. Why are we not feeling good? Why are you not feeling good? What's going on in your life? What are you feeling about? And discover that, because that is where we're going to find out the answers, right?
Right. Make a great point. Dr. Lisa Rankin cited a study where people were given a placebo, and 80% of those folks were able to heal themselves just by thought alone,
yeah.
Confirming mind over medicine. And then in the cancer field, Dr. Kelly Turner wrote a book, Radical Remission, looking at thousands of people who had gone into remission, in this case from cancer. And what she found, she identified 9 factors. And 7 of those 9 factors are emotional/psychological.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's mm-hmm. That's incredible. And I love Lisa Rankin, because mm-hmm. I love her story of, she had an incredible story that she had to overcome also, because she was a traditional doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now she had to go through her whole programming of what's going on in the medical community that she really didn't want to be a part of anymore. And a really incredible doctor and woman. And she's done TED Talks too. So she's mm-hmm. she's out there in a big way. Lisa Rankin, wonderful, wonderful woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, Maureen, for the, I'm going from Maureen to Dr. Pierce. Tell us about, in the context of cancer, let's say, for instance, someone comes into you that they've received a cancer diagnosis. What's the first thing you explore with them?
Well, number one, I really want to hear their story about the story of, or their theory about how they got here. And I want to hear about how I might be helpful to them, like what their expectations are. And I really want to encourage them to breathe, to stop, pause, take a breath. And I tell women, and some of the men I work with, some of the first responders and female first responders, to envision a stop sign. S is for stop, T is for take a breath, O is for observe, P yeah. is for proceed. And to that really, and even Dr. Nasha Winters, who wrote The Metabolic Approach to Cancer, she has a little free guide that I've referred my clients to. And she, the first step is to breathe. You mentioned you had Dr. V on your podcast, and she is phenomenal. And she talks about that as well. Breathe.
You know, well, Yeah, that's right. Thanks for bringing that, because like you, to keep me honest, keeping it real here, let's talk about the doctor that you just quoted, because I'm going through it in real time right now. You were so great with your words. I'm a wee bit scared right now, I'm not going to lie. I'm hanging on to faith because I did some, remember, Dr. V said to me, what about those test results? So I had my Canadian doctor send the results to the States. And what do you want to say to me? Testing, what do we need to know about testing? Because I'm kind of, I'm going away next week and I just didn't want to deal with getting the results. What do you want to say? This is a really good point about testing and information. Talk to me.
So, you know, with my clients and, you know, so many, you know, folks in my practice are afraid of test results. And I think that's really normal and understandable. And so the Dr. Anisha Winter, she talks about test, assess, and address. So you've done the testing and, you know, you're trying to get an assessment, but you have to be ready for those results. And so it's okay to take a pause, to step back, you know, and, you know, when people are getting test results, I also ask, okay, well, what else is going on in your life? Oh, we're moving this weekend and I don't want that to interfere. Or, you know, I'm thinking about having some hard discussions with my spouse. Or, you know, whatever else, or, you know, my son has a baseball tournament this weekend and I don't want to be a mess. So learning how to pace that out, and it's information. Yes. That's all it is. And I really, you know, really try to follow the guidance of Dr. V, you know, it's information, and you don't have to fear cancer if you have the right tools and mindset, and that there are things that we can do to, you know, work through that. And, right. You know, one step at a time, and then it's information, and it's going to give you a map about what you need to do next. And freaking out about, you know, test results does nobody any good, because what we know about adrenaline and epinephrine is it'll vamp up tumor growth if someone has a tumor, so.
Yeah, so true. So it's just about, you know, keeping me honest with this walk too, because I can say I'm doing this plan and that plan, but at the end of the day, I've got to get the results too. So it's, yeah, so I'll be facing the music when I come back. The other thing too, I'd love for you to share the famous ACE study. Would you like to tell us about that? This is fascinating.
I love this study, and this is a... So the ACE study stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. So, and it's based off of a 10-item questionnaire that I use in my practice with every client that comes through. And the punchline of the study is that they found a direct link, not a correlation, but a direct link between early childhood trauma and physical and mental health issues. Physical issues included cancer, autoimmune conditions, liver disease, COPD, psychological issues, depression, anxiety, substance abuse, even social problems such as homelessness. So there's a direct link there. And the study was done starting in 1995 by Dr. Folletti and Dr. Anda. And they were actually in a weight loss clinic. And their weight loss program was going well, but patients were dropping out. And they were like, why are people dropping out? And so they got pretty wise, in my opinion. And they were like, okay, what's happening on page one? So they developed this question. It's 10 questions. You can easily find it online if you just type in ACE questionnaire. And that addresses abuse. Has there been physical, sexual, or emotional abuse? And looks at neglect as well. You know, such as, did you have your basic needs met? Did your family stick up for you? Were they around to support you? And then household dysfunction, divorce, incarceration, substance abuse, familial parent. And so you answer those 10 questions and you're given what's called an ACE score. I think of it as like a psychological cholesterol number. And it tells you how many, you know, if you've got 4 adverse childhood events, that has a direct link to what they found in their research over 25 years is that people who have 4 more ACEs have a much higher rate of a risk of cancer than someone who has an ACE of 0. And they linked the ACE score to all kinds of health issues, and problems with, you know, the relationships. And one of the things that I think is so important, so you may have not seen the questionnaire, but which adverse event do you think was the most profound in causing chronic illness? Abuse, neglect, divorce, incarceration of a family member, mentally ill parent. Do you have any idea?
Emotionally,
alcoholism.
Not having your emotional needs met.
Or neglect.
Okay. Well, here's the kicker. It didn't matter which type of trauma.
Oh, wow.
That someone experienced. And here's the reason. Because trauma, regardless of what it is, has the same neurochemical imprinting on the brain. And what they found is it changes the underlying brain architecture of the child. And then it sets up, there you go, that hormonal cascade, that role of psychoneuroimmunology. And the second thing that they found is conventional risk factors were at play here in terms of if someone was obese, smoking, drinking, alcoholism, that will certainly contribute to, you know, disease outcomes. And number three, the role of epigenetics, the role of lifestyle factors has a huge impact. And if you grow up in an adverse situation, people don't learn how to take care of themselves or even know what they need or even value it as a priority. So, and this is replicated science. This is something that has been gone over again and again and again. So this is a tool that I use in my practice. And along with the ACE questionnaire, there's also a questionnaire called the resiliency questionnaire.
Mm, yes.
And I like that because it counterbalances, because so many people have gone through such hardship and trauma, but they've still been very successful and high functioning. And because remember, the people in this study, they were not from a low SES group. 17,000 people were studied, and they were middle-class, college-educated people with health insurance, because this study was done in the Kaiser Permanente system. Right. So I like to give the resiliency questionnaire just to show people, despite the fact that you've been through a lot, you've had a lot of good things. And so the good news is that it's not so much what happens to you, it's what can we choose to do with it. And this gets into an empowerment piece for folks.
You know, I love this so much, Maureen. I love this so much. I love that ACE questionnaire. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to tell the audience again where they can get it. So you said to Google ACE questionnaire.
Correct. And it'll pop right up. It's a 10-item questionnaire. And also do the resiliency questionnaire. Just type in resiliency questionnaire and it'll pop up as well.
This is brilliant. I mean, this is a great self-empowerment tool, mm-hmm. right away, where you can, you know, look at yourself with self-compassion for, because I know there's a lot of people that had trauma in their childhood. Mm-hmm. I was one of them. I, mm-hmm. you know, had a lot of childhood trauma, and, you know, now listening to you, I can see now why, I had to go, I went through all of the things that I went through, and, mm-hmm. yeah.
I love what you're saying. I also love it too, Maureen. And I was listening to Olivia Newton-John on her last podcast with Dr. V and her latest memoir, Don't Stop Believing. She talks about it too. I love the point that you're making in that the tracks of trauma on the brain, it doesn't even matter what it is. It just, it makes an imprint. And even Olivia Newton-John was saying that everybody has stuff to explore. To connect mm-hmm. the dots is great. It doesn't matter what it is, and there's no judgment. People can come from the best homes, well-intended but unaware family systems. And she was saying too, everybody has something in their family. So, I mean, I'm just borrowing from her strength because she's a long-term survivor. She's faced cancer 3 times, and she was really highlighting the point that it's an opportunity each time. It's an opportunity to heal and be grateful to still be here and figure out what it is. But even the best families, it doesn't matter. Sometimes it's subtle things too. So it's not just point and shame and blame, just that it's good. It takes a bit of courage to look into our history, but it's good to know the herstory for anyone going through breast cancer too. So it can happen to anyone. To connect the dots is great. It's really, yeah. And the resilience piece, I love that too, because it's a muscle. Because we can look at two people in the same family system. Why did this sibling react this way and this one didn't? So that gets into the whole nature nurture thing. But even the most high functioning people, educated. Everyone can have something. So it's great to see that it's inclusive and it involves everybody.
You know, some of my highest functioning people I work with, chiropractor, have a physician I work with, and really my first responders, and they have been through some of the most difficult things that I've ever heard of in my life. But yet they are, you know, out there producing, working, you know, during doing surgery, you know, responding to other people's, you know, emergencies. So there's a lot of resiliency out there.
To be able to really overcome what it is that we came to overcome and to know that we can. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why this work is so good, ladies. I just feel so honored and grateful that we're having this discussion and bringing this information out so that everyone that is listening to this, and if you're finding yourself in trauma, or if you're finding yourself with a diagnosis, or if you're finding yourself, you know, helpless or hopeless, there is help for you. And that's what it is that we're, you know, bringing you today. So ladies, we just have about 5 minutes. I want to say even less than 5 minutes left. Dana, I know you have some specific questions. Why don't we just zone in and hone in to the last 5 minutes of the show so that we can get the best of Maureen while we have this fantastic woman here today.
I would like to explore specifically, we're all women, and I know Dr. Maureen Pierce, you had said before you're very interested and you're passionate about empowering women specifically, and you believe that there are specific things women can do and that there's value and importance for women having self-empowerment in their health. What is it specifically about women? Why is it, let's talk about that, about how we can encourage and empower women in their own self-empowerment, because you say there's a reason why it's especially important for women.
Well, really, empowerment and empowering women is really about an invitation to really commit to improving, to upgrading themselves, and a willingness to learn about themselves, in some cases, maybe digging up some old stuff, so that way they can be in charge of their health and be a health shero, if you will. And it moves people from something that's happened to me to something that, what can I do to be in charge of myself? And this is where those lifestyle factors come in. But I also think it's about learning how to be intuitive and for women to learn to listen to themselves. Because I think I used to work with adolescents and a lot of adolescent girls. And so teaching, you know, young women how to listen to themselves, because they get the message, you know, oh, you're just making a big deal, or that's not a, you know, don't worry about that, you're such a worrier. Or how many women have I dealt with who have gone, you know, for to see their doc, and they're like, I don't feel right, you know, I feel something in my breast tissue, and they're not taken seriously. And then, you know, down the road, there's a problem. So really teaching women, encouraging this idea of this intuitive side to wellness, I think is really important. So, and part of them empowering my clients is also teaching them how to be a good patient, you know, to learn and to listen, to enter appointments and in union with anybody they choose to work with, is to come at it from a peaceful state of mind and heart. Because emotions are contagious. If you are calm and centered and peaceful, then, you know, that exudes an energy that perhaps the physician can use a good dose to, because they may be likely running from their 7-minute appointments. Right. And then, you know, having questions ready, and recognizing the realities of treatment is that there's going to be some trials and errors. And I also say with empowering is learning how to question your providers. And I love, you know, the statement that, you know, sometimes it's important to say you just don't know as a provider.
Yeah,
I will tell people that. I'll say, you know, if I can't figure it out, I'll get you to somebody who can. You know, so, you know, the other piece to this is I tell people, take what works and leave the rest. Because not everything works for everybody, but some things work for some people some of the time. And to remember that chronic illness, it really is a marathon. And you build you know, health habits, because health is a skill. It's something that we can learn, and health habits build on one another. You know, in anybody's, you know, health journey that I've been a part of is that it's a process. It's not an event. And I really want to say just a word about mindset and really teaching people about having a healing mindset versus a disease or pathology driven mindset. And the mindset is teaching them folks how to be prepared psychologically and having emotional management in place for anybody, whether you're a first responder, a woman with breast cancer, or you've got an autoimmune condition, because the truck is coming. We see it. So let's prepare for it. And that is your superpower number one, is a preparedness mindset.
Love it. Love it. How can our audience find out more about you? Can you offer your information, your website? Where can we learn more about you?
Sure. If for my health-based website, it's drmaureenpierce@drmaureenpierce.com. And then if there's any first responders or EMS folks out there listening, you can go to www.firstresponderps.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we just have about a minute and a half left, Dana. What would you like to say?
Well, I have one more thought to add to this empowerment piece.
One minute.
The light bulb theory, which came from one of my professors in my doctoral program, and this is, we're all given 100-watt light bulb. But many times we only are aware of 40% of that light bulb. And then we go around making decisions, getting in commitment to spouses and our bosses, and we're not showing up with our whole self. So part of empowering women is to know and learn about that other 60% so you can make choices based on what you know about yourself and having a better relationship to yourself.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Maureen Keith and Dana Terrio, and we'll see everybody again next time on the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Lady Boss.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Lady Boss, Women Inspiring Women, featuring leading edge entrepreneurs who are putting the focus on empathic leadership in today's modern day world. Text the word Cornelia to the number 22828 and receive her weekly newsletters. For more information on Cornelia Stephanie and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to corneliastephanie.com.